CliffCentral.com.
Please be aware that this show contains crude and foul language. If you are sensitive to topics like science or religion, we cordially invite you to please fuck off now. Thank you.
Good morning, all and asunder. We are here in the new brand free open spatial theater studio. Oh, it's so lovely to be back. We were in the other studio for weeks and weeks and weeks, but touch had to touch somebody's hand and let go. So we're back here, and with me a very dapper gentleman, always dapper, but now there's something about him, and I know what it is, because he's turned 40, Gavin Prince.
Oh my goodness, no way did you just say that.
You did,
I'm so traumatized.
No, 40 is a fantastic age, the 40s.
Why?
Because you are still young enough to be hip, but you are old enough to sort of know things.
I like that.
To make decisions and not be... am I making the right decision? You know, I am making the right decision. I'm fucking 40.
I like that. You know? I love that, Casper. I've just embraced my age now.
Embraced 40. 50, not so nice. I'm 50.
Oh, not my God.
I'm moving in towards 55. Not so nice. Not so nice.
Because you look very traumatized when you say that.
You know why? Because you start feeling the ship creaking. You can hear, oh, God, daar gaan die achter... hol, wat noem is dat goed, die hol, die H-A-U-L, hol, die hol nie.
Yeah.
And you can hear the creaking, and then you forget things, and you go, oh my God, and then all of a sudden you got pains that you never had.
Yes.
No, you won't have it yet. You won't have it yet.
Ek het nog bietjie daarvan.
Oh God, ek weet nie hoe gaan die vijfdes maak nie, maar... 40s is actually free of that, but 50s it starts. I mean, I'm drinking all kinds of medicine. I've got a thing here under my stomach that makes it feels like something, a rubber ball is turning inside my body. I don't know what it is.
Oh my goodness.
I didn't ask the I nearly said dentist. I didn't ask the doctor. He just gave me pills. I'm drinking them. And if I drink the pill twice a day, it goes away.
Oh.
So that's all. I don't want to know more.
So much you drink this pill like forever.
I drink it in the morning. I drink it in the afternoon. I don't know whether it was meant to be a pill to drink forever, but I am.
That's sad.
And then I got my blood pressure pills. I got my mood pills. Are you on mood pills?
Yeah.
Oh, Gavin, but you're so careful.
Wait. You are on mood pills. What does that mean?
I mean, I'm on depression pills.
So are you So, for your moods, or your moods to regulate?
Yes, otherwise I get too depressed about life.
Oh my goodness.
And then I might do something, like...
I'm almost there!
Oh my God, my darling, you're going to enjoy it so much. Oh, Gavin, welcome. We've got such a wonderful show today. It's very musical, Gavin.
Wow.
It's a very musical show. I've got a very, very talented young lady called Emma Van Heen. She's going to be here later. And then we got Leo Sayer.
Oh, my goodness.
Leo fucking Sayer.
But you met him this week, didn't you? Which you're going to tell us about.
Oh, no, I didn't go. I didn't go.
Okay.
You know what happened?
No, I was in Durban. At least I've got an excuse.
No, you know what happened with us? We were working very hard on Tuesday on Betty's show.
Yes, you and I.
A reality show.
Yeah.
And then I came home very late. And I was very tired because it was a full day for me.
Yeah.
You know? And I just said, I can't make it. I wrote to them and said, I'm very, very sorry. But I can't make it, but I'll see Leo today, and tonight you and I are going to go watch the show, aren't we?
Yes. I'm on the guest list.
Are you?
Yes. Oh. So I'm going with you, and I'm on the guest list, just to make sure that I am going in.
Okay, well then maybe I can... Okay, so you got two tickets.
I don't know how many tickets I have. Bridget.
We'll be there. Oh, Bridget, yeah, Bridget. Yes. You'll be there. We'll be dancing and all that. But I didn't meet him yet. No, I haven't. I haven't. I just want to tell you that I have just returned from the car in a car.
Yes.
That was, it's always a pain in the left side of my boulder. But now it was the nicest car ever.
Why?
Because
you performed.
It was organized. Mm-hmm. It was spacious. The theaters, very good crews, very good screws. They gave you time to move in and out. It was just fantastic. And all the drunk people listening to Tiens Engel, what's his name?
Tiens Jordan.
They are in a tent.
Oh my goodness.
So you never see them.
But how was the turnout overall?
I was turned out, I was turned in, and I was turned on. We had good audiences. We were playing like a large theater.
Is it?
Yeah.
You, Hannes,
and Skulk.
And Skulk.
It was a good show.
Is it?
If I can say so myself.
Wow.
It's so good that we're going to do it more.
Good. There was nobody what? Drie van?
Drie en een. Oli. Think Oli.
Okay.
But we're totally different. What we do is we stay on the stage all the time, every time, all the time.
And together. You improvise.
And we improvise, but not a little bit with games, but more just talking, like now.
With the audience members?
With each other.
Met mekaar.
Ja, dat is niet serieus. Niet zo, we would be talking and
wow.
our discipline must just not, we mustn't cut off the other guy.
How do you know when the other guy's boring or, because that is one thing that I don't know when I'm boring. Boring to the next person.
So, no, we will cut you off then. Yeah, we will. We will then step in and say, okay, Gavin, I know what you're saying, but let me continue now, or whatever.
No, I would be traumatized.
No, it was, the first one was difficult, and then it was absolute bliss.
Oh, wow, I'm glad.
I also want to congratulate Jean-Luc Mélenchon, because he appeared at 7 places at once.
What do you mean?
Well, it sounds like he's a god, but he's not. Mm-hmm. He's a politician. And he was hologrammed to 7 places at once. So people, weet dan gaan jy nou Pretoria, Johannesburg, Vereniging, Vaal, Sasol. Is it Vaal Sasol? Nee, Vaal Driehoek.
Sasol,
welkom. Mm-hmm. Okay, allemaal sit daar reg en dan ping! Verskyn hy ooral, agier, op 'n hologram. Hello, it's me. I'm Jean-Luc Mélenchon. Dit was vir die Franse verkiesing.
Oh.
So now you don't have to trek from place to place, from school cell to school cell. You just have a hologram.
Okay. Can I just like pull a Alicia Smits here and be all proper?
And be totally dumb.
Wat is dit?
A hologram.
Wat is?
Dis 'n ding wat.
Is dit 'n skerm?
Ja, en dan projekteer hulle jou op die verhoog.
Oh.
You see, so they just make the stage dark and then it's like Star Trek. So beam me up, Scotty. It looks like that.
Oh. Nou kom hulle met hologram.
I don't know, man, by in Engels is dit 'n mooier naam. Afrikaans is dit lelik. Hologram. Oh, if you are people, we got Lucia coming. Please, WhatsApp.
Yes.
And WeChat. Send lots of questions.
That's a belief.
Or just compliments to Leo. So I can read it.
Exactly.
Okay. So remember now, please do that, eh? So he's impressed with us. Mm. Because it doesn't help we sit here and there's not one fucking message for him. Then I will just write any fucking thing. Just say he's fantastic. You love him. He helped you in your life. Whatever. Okay.
I'm putting the number.
Ja, kom gee die nommer.
Die nommer is 079-748-2090. Ek gaan hom nou...
Toets hom sommer nou.
Ja, 079-748-2090. Ek gaan hom sommer op ons Facebook ook sit.
Sit hom op ons Facebook. Ja. And you just write there. And you write your name at the end, hey? Otherwise, I'm going to make up a name. Because the WhatsApps come in here without... We just see a number, so we don't know who it is. So just say, Leo, I love you, Shawnee, or whatever.
Mm.
Okay? So, but do you know who Leo Sayer is now, Gavin? Have you swatted up him? Don't talk cock questions like, I loved your song, Miss Unite. That's Cliff Richard.
What he saw? Yes, but talking about that.
Yeah.
No, but he also wrote songs, eh? He wrote songs for Tina and things.
Yeah, he's very eloquent. He will tell us stuff. You just give him one name.
Yeah, but you can't dumb be. You can't Alicia be, see.
You can't Alicia. Just give him something and he will rattle on for things. You have to do stuff poopies with him. Remember not to say that it's old, has-been artists, because then he will be angry. So we say it's, we ask him for his influence, his best artist he's ever seen or heard or that he can remember as a child. You must point him in that way. And then, yeah, we will talk to him about various things, but I'm telling you, he's going to just talk. He is very good with that. If he arrives, because I've always got this problem that I've got, what's that theory?
Theory.
I got the phobia that he might not come.
Why?
Because it's opening night. Maybe someone told him, but why are you going to Casper?
Wait. I need to bring you to order. This discussion, and what happened? Peter Dirk surprised us with his presence, and we had an amazing show.
We had one of our best shows. He was late. That's why I was missing.
He was fashionably late.
He was in traffic.
He was in traffic, but subsequently I also found out that he had another interview, a media interview.
My God. So they were raking them in.
Yes.
I hope Leo's not somewhere else.
So he had 12:05. He was scheduled to be at 12 o'clock, Peter Durge. He had a 10-minute telephonic conversation, and that's why he was late.
And that's why they say traffic. They lied.
Well, they didn't technically lie. He was in traffic, but he was in a media interview with the traffic.
Palesa, my darling, I don't know if you know, but the clock here is like nothing. It's just striepies. So I've got no idea what time it is, what time I must finish. Is this new? What? Tell me. Palesa?
Yeah, it's the time.
What?
There, so do we look there?
11:16.
We look there.
So
okay,
that's
so
not
that
working.
Thing is like abstract art now. Please take a picture and send it. That's abstract art now. That's our time. We look at the time there. Thanks, Palesa. And thanks for not talking. People don't know what the hell is going on. She was coming in here.
Yeah, but and people never. But the sound engineers and the producers and whatever she is, they're always the unsung heroes.
They're unsung, and I want to sing for them. Palesa, you're a hero, and I'm singing to you. Even though when I ask you, you ignore me, a flatty Palesa, a flatty. Sounds like a Stephen Sondheim musical. Facebook will now operate computers with brainwaves.
Wait.
Can you believe it? You are going to stay at your computer and...
That's dangerous.
Because it's dangerous. I know. But you will stay at your computer and all of a sudden, bloop, open. You'll see porn. No, I didn't think that. I didn't think that.
That's why I say it's dangerous. That's awesome. Wait, is this the truth?
It is. No, what, do you think I'm lying?
Nee, maar jy kon het op BuzzFeed gekryd, en BuzzFeed.com.
It's fake news, Donald Trump, hello. No, I got it. They're working on it. I was just looking it a bit on. Like, it's already happening. It's not happening. They're working
on it. But they're working towards what you just speculated.
Yeah, so they must have had prototypes already in Silicon Valley, where you look at the computer and it goes, email, and then... You can think the words. Hi, John. I just wanted to let you know that I fucking hate you. Best wishes, Jill. And he send it off. You just think it.
Oh, my goodness. So imagine there, like, let's, for example, Emma sits in front of you.
Yeah.
And you say, okay, say a has-been. And then I say, oh, mooi and beautiful in front of you. And boom, then it's op jou. How embarrassing.
But it's not on your head, eh? It's on your computer. So it's not as if there's a light going on your forehead. With text.
Nee.
It's on the computer.
Nee, maar onthou nou, jy interview die persoon.
Ja,
so now you're thinking that.
Yeah, but the computer is not going to say, hey, Emma, this guy actually thinks this. He's not going to say that.
So how does it work?
You're going to look at the computer and go,
oh.
You're going to go, you think, email. to Gavin Prince. Hello, Gavin. And then it'll write all that.
Oh.
And then you're going to say, you've got to learn to put things in certain places in your brain, because then you're going to write, and then you're going to correct it, and then you're going to go send.
Mm.
Like a mouse click. That's another. So we're all going to be twitching now from now on. Delete. What's wrong with your head? Now I'm just thinking. I'm writing on my computer. So isn't that just absolutely fantastic?
That's amazing.
Who is Jean-Luc Mélenchon? Kevin?
Jean-Luc Mélenchon. Is he the guy in the hologram?
Yes, good. I was just checking.
When I say, like, I'm pulling a Alicia, I'm like, I think I'm 50% blonde.
You are a bit blonde. You are more blonde than I actually thought.
No, but I do surprise you sometimes. Just give me a quiz and I will kick ass.
Quiz you're good with. And remember now, don't ask cock questions to Leo,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, no, funny.
Please, he mustn't storm out of here. You must say and think, not blonde.
Intelligent question.
Intelligence.
Yes.
Yeah. And remember, give him a word, he'll go with it. He talks.
So I'll say, Unchained Melody.
What? No, don't say that. What's that?
Unchained Melody. That's a song van hom op YouTube.
Ancha.
Unchained Melody.
Dis nie hy nie, for
fuck's sake,
Gavin.
I know it's not him. I know it's not him. But there's a song that he sings. He sings it on
a cover.
On, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he's got lots of his own hits.
Hmm.
Don't come with.
Yeah, yeah,
this,
yeah.
This now.
Yeah.
I loved your going back to rehab. You can't say that to him, because that's someone else.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
I did a show in Cape Town, and I'm going back. It was organized. I had this impulse to phone. I nearly said, I don't know what I tried to say. To wavelength, Facebook, computer wavelength, brainwave, a friend of mine called Charles van Heiningen.
Yes.
He is a singer.
Yes.
His father was a very famous singer.
Yeah.
Frans van Heiningen and Lucille Ackerman, when I was small, here, they did Loretta.
I don't know France.
Frans.
but I know Charles.
You know Charles?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd say pas François. He is 10 to 1 listening to this, so just not. Yeah, François, you remember.
Yes.
And what he did is. So read this.
If you want people to call in, the number is 0861-555-189. Okay, this is just a note that Palesa shoved under our noses. So this is if any of you out there, if you are wanting to speak to us and feel the need to...
But don't. We haven't got time today for phone calls.
Is it?
No.
Okay. Yes, yeah,
but really, if you like being attacked or raped, phone. Otherwise, don't. Hey, because you can WhatsApp. Already got WhatsApps here.
Oh, my goodness.
We got Gavin, belated birthday wishes for you, my darling. You are 40 and fabulous.
Oh, bye, donkey, Surieta.
And then we got one from no one knows. No one knows who this is.
Cola. Isn't it Cola, ne?
Cola.
Yeah.
What is V-Town?
V-Town is... That's not Val 3, ne?
Seker, my fucking Cola. As your name is Cola, it. Ek sien net Cola. La Cola, thank you. She says, Leo, I love you. Okay, so wait. I'll read this to him.
Yes.
So
yes,
at least
yes,
we got one message here. And Cola, just want to write another one with another name. So that in case no one else writes to Leo, I can read him too. And here is Charles. He's listening. He says, Kasper, I'm listening.
Oh, my goodness.
Say hello, Charles.
Hello, Charles. Hoe gaan dit?
Well, I'm talking about Charles because...
Yeah.
We know each other now for years and years and years and years. And he had children. I remember them running around in the garden and falling into fish ponds. And so I can't remember a lot. And all of a sardine, darling, they all grown up. I said, geez, what happened to the children? He said, they're all grown up. And Charles said to me when I was touring, he said, listen to this. This is a song from one of my daughters, Emma. And I thought, oh my God, I don't want to listen. Because always, I've got lots of friends with singer family, and then I have to listen, and it's a, it's a really unhygienic heap of cuck. Hey, and then you, what do you say?
Yeah.
Usually they WhatsApp, have you listened to the song yet? And you go, no, I haven't. Meanwhile, I have vomited already. So he said, look at the video.
Mm.
And I was blown away. I thought, God, it's a good video. And the first the video caught me, and then the songs. And then I said, I want to listen to more. And I got her whole new album. It is phenomenal.
Oh my goodness.
And I've got her here in the studio. Good morning, Emma.
Good morning.
Oh my goodness. That was such a shock for me.
I'm hologrammed in, eh?
This show is proper unscripted. I did not know that that was the connection. Yeah. I just met you out there.
And I've just been sitting here this whole entire time.
Yeah, but I'm not going to tell you before. You know, everything is alive on radio, goodness. So I can't tell you beforehand.
Oh my goodness.
All the beautiful things of life. Surprises.
I must just say that you remind me of a Hollywood actress, and I still don't know the name.
We'll do some research. We'll go stalking, and then maybe we can compile a few, because that's a very big compliment. I just hope the actress is good.
Yeah, I was wondering, well, who would you think? Amy, what's that girl who won for Les Mis? Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway.
I'm not thinking of Anne Hathaway.
Okay. That's what I was thinking of. But anyway, so what are we going to do? What are we going to do today, people? Is I'm going to play your beautiful, beautiful album called
Yes, please.
Asylum. Okay. Emma, from the top to the bottom, this thing is a work of art. It really is a work of art. Every song has its place. Every song has its meaning. You go on a journey. As well, if you want to go on a journey, you go through all the songs, you go on a journey. But now I've got a couple of questions to ask you. But before I do, let's listen to. We've got a new sound desk now, people, so I must just fucking get my bearings. Let's listen to.
Please.
Help Me, which is something I'm. Let's see if this is this playing.
Yeah.
Okay, listen. Help me. That was me, eh?
I feel I should have left by now. There's no need for me to give. Yes, I have support somehow, but I'm lost in my head. And I'm hurting myself by creating feelings that are making me upset. But why shouldn't I give myself up for things that I regret? Help me to understand myself. Help me to be free. Help me to make the right decisions. Help me to be me.
It can play on in the background while.
Oh my goodness!
Oh,
so,
wow.
First of all,
yes.
Who composed, directed, produced this CD, album, whatever?
I did everything.
Nee, jy jok.
Ek jok glad nie.
Wat het jy alles gedoen?
Ek het alles produce. En ek het die klavier gespeel daarvoor en dromme inge kind of
program.
Nie vir al die tracks nie.
Ja.
Ek kan nie gitaar speel nie, so al die gitaar is nie Emma nie.
Ja.
Ek het so 'n bietjie viool gespeel, maar die res van die tyd it was actually Luke Verrazen that played cello. That whole orchestra is just one boy.
Oh my goodness.
This is in help.
Yes.
Help me to be me.
That's you playing piano?
Yes.
Is that all one guy?
That's one boy. He's 17 years old.
It's brilliant. Love it.
Help me, shelter me.
Did you hear those notes? Yes.
I don't deserve sympathy. I don't want you to be gone. Help me, shelter me.
Oh, there he's playing.
Yes.
I don't deserve sympathy. I don't want you to be gone. Help me.
There's a sound like... was that a fly in the studio, or did you?
I was like, I need something that crackles.
Now I'm glad, because I thought there was something wrong with my headphones. I love it. I love the production.
Thank you. Understand myself. Help me
to be free. So you wrote this?
Yes, I wrote every single song that's on this album since the age of 9. So there's actually some songs, there's a piano part, Journey of a Raindrop, that I wrote when I was 9, composed. When I was 9 years
old. Wat het jou ouers gedink toe hulle hoor jou lyrics is Help Me to be Free op 9?
Dit was 14 was, and I was on the beach actually. I said something mean about my mom
in my diary. She's such a darling.
She is a darling, but it was kind of bad. And then she saw what I read, so I ran away. I was gone for 8 hours, and then I was burning in the sun. And all I had was this piece of paper and a pen. And then I just wrote this song.
Oh my goodness.
Because I felt so bad.
But that's what I like about this album. It's like a journey that you can identify with. The other one I'm going to play now is the bubble one. I love the bubble one, where you like want someone and then later they irritate you and you say, fuck off out of my bubble again. That's so nice. Okay, but listen to Teddy Bear now. Because she makes you scared to the bone when you took the stairs. Sorry, that's my bloody cell phone. She holds your stare. As you move on, she wants to tear a part of me away. Because you mind, but now I realize she holds your stare. But you're just her teddy bear, left on the bed. Her teddy bear, left on the bed. Her teddy bear loved when she weeps. Her teddy bear loved when she sleeps. So, het jy muziek gestudeer?
Nee, ek het nie. Ek wou muziek swaat. For years, years and years and years, I wanted to study. I thought that was all I was going to do until the day came where I had to play my grade 8 piano exam. And I practiced for hours and hours every single day. And when I got into that room, I sat there and there was a Scottish lady that was beside my kind of beoordeel. Yeah. And at that moment, I'm playing this Bach piece, and I'm playing Schubert, and I'm playing all these, you know, brilliant pieces, but I'm playing to one woman, and it's something where she will be able to distinguish whether I have the right technique, whether I place the notes in the right way, whether my style works for her, the way how I approach it, and then something happened in me where I just thought, I cannot do this further. I cannot do classical training further. Not because I don't like it. I love it. But I do need to find my own creative outlet. And I can't do it by spending 3 years of my life learning further about technique. I thought maybe I'm going to leave that for later if that does happen. And I'm just going to try and attempt and start learning and experiencing music myself and maybe finding that rawness. I wanted to first find the rawness in music before I get kind of indoctrinated by what goes and what is right and how should it actually sound. So yeah, and then I just went for it.
That's exactly also what I felt with your album, is that it is authentic. It was you. It's you. You can hear that, you know. It's like the you see, it's a true artist. I think you're a little bit mad maybe as well. Artists are mad. Good artists are mad. I'm mad.
I know.
Gavin Akersock mad.
Oh my, that's why you're on tablets.
But I know. But look at her lyrics, the way she expresses herself. The production is that of a genius. It's really fantastic. What is Agenda about?
Agenda is about bitches. It was kind of fluky. Yeah, it's about...
Sometimes I wonder about what makes fire so alluring.
We said it now, the bitch.
A light that brings an uncomfortable heat that is so comforting at the same time. People are often repulsed by the same qualities they are drawn to.
There's like people whispering.
That's fine by me because it's natural, I guess. But some That's people struggle to be nice about it.
I love it.
Be nice. Please?
No.
No?
No.
Be nice.
Well then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Bitches. This one goes out to all the bitches out there.
All the haters out there.
All the haters.
You can hear. You'll hear. It's about bitches.
And you did all the backing.
Yes. Except the guitar.
Yeah, no, but I mean the backing vocal.
Oh, yes. That's me.
For barking up the wrong tree. Yes, I'm pissed. Hey, you for treading on my turf. Don't dare snoop around to start a fight of some kind. You're out of your mind.
Oh, I love it. It grows in you as well. I've listened to it a couple
of times.
It takes
a while. It does,
yes,
take a while.
It does, because I was very impressed, and then I thought, let me see if it wears off.
Yes.
But it actually wears in. Something like Dr. John, which is a difficult song, actually.
Mm.
It's brilliant.
Mm.
The more you listen to it, the more you hear all the levels of that song. It's fantastic. Where's the one where it sounds like Sound of Music? Na 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 na. But which one is that?
Oh, la la da 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 da. I See Red.
Oh, I love that. Oh, listen to this. Impressed, Gavin.
Wow. Dis baie selde dat 'n mens vir Casper so sien opgewonde in bubble oor een album. Dis baie selde.
She's singing a song about
he
the
really
bubble.
Means it.
Yes, I sing a song about the bubble. No, but I must say, I cannot take 100% all the credit. I have to say that I worked with an amazing person called Ice Visser.
Mm-hmm.
And he approached...
He must just change his name.
What? Must he change his name?
Ice Visser is difficult to say. Ice and now here in America, we got an ass visor. What ass visor?
I think it's kind of like exotic, you know?
Ice visor.
Yeah, nice, like ice visor. Yeah,
yeah, but,
but
it's true. Sorry that I interrupt, because that is 101 of radio interviews, not to interrupt, but I am.
That's
because
good.
I'm loving my own voice. No, I want to say that geniuses surround themselves with geniuses as well. So, I mean, you knew who to ask.
Yeah, wow, yeah. I think the thing what makes him amazing is I needed to be very selfish in this process, where for the first time I didn't want to listen to other people with my creative process, so that I know where I can push myself before I can start approaching others saying this is my sound, this is what I do, can I? And then he was the right person to go to, because he literally listens to me. He goes, okay, cool, we're going to do this. So he was the engineer, so he helped the quality.
That's very important.
He helped get that quality in it, and he helped co-produce in certain moments when I'm really unsure what I'm doing, because I have to hear. It's like a little dream, you know, when you try to recall a dream and you need to explain. That's exactly what happens in my mind. So I need to play what's in my mind, and then I'm like, I hear a sound that sounds like a dog, but it like squeaks, and then I try and like source, and then he helps me find those sounds. But for
minutes and minutes,
you know, like for 40 minutes, one little snare sound. So.
Yeah.
It was nice to work with him. I really enjoyed it.
But you hear in your head, hoor jy wat jy wil hê, en dan partykeer verander jy jou mind as jy dit nou hoor, dink jy nee, ek het kak gehoor, of is it usually right?
Weirdly right, yeah. It's strange. I should have actually bought my songbook, but like also when I write, you will very seldomly see a mistake in my writing. I find it very strange. It sounds very weird if I say this, but I go into a very strange kind of zone, and I feel like I'm more like a medium. Let me just sit down and let the stuff come to me. And it's the strangest thing, where you hardly really see mistakes. And also when I produce, I hear what I hear, and I go verse one, and I go, I hear this on this beat, I hear this on this beat. And then I only have 4 days per track. That's all I had to record and produce. And
so it's just like a little Mozart.
I need
just
to write
it down.
I need to say something about
no.
I need to say something about Emma before I forget, because you know my memory.
Yeah.
I know what she reminds me of.
Ooh.
Ooh, reminds me of. Ooh. Ooh, she reminds me of.
Ooh.
I don't know the name of the actress, but she's in Glee in the movie, and she's in the shower.
What?
Is it Pitch Perfect? Is it
Pitch Perfect? That's the one. Oh my goodness!
He's the main.
Yes.
You're the third person now that said that.
Oh my goodness!
I don't know.
What is her name? I should Google it.
Let's Google it.
I'll Google it.
Google the name.
She's famous.
Okay. Well, let's see.
We like her.
Of course. If you.
We like her and her.
From the.
Yeah, well, let's see what Pitch Perfect looks like.
Pitch Perfect. I think everyone will go. It's her. It's so obvious.
Okay. Now we're gonna go. For
Anna Kendrick.
Yes. Anna Kendrick.
I knew it was an Anna.
Yeah, she does. She does.
I don't think I look like her at all, but that's very nice. Thank you.
Anna Kendrick.
I'm sorry.
Anna Kendrick. Gavin, now and then you must look over my shoulder if there's a message, because I can't see behind my head. Here comes it. Here comes it. This is Emma. Oh, we love this. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, into the forest we go. Roses and petals and lands in like places.
Round and round and down he took me for a ride. When I saw he could not see me, that was a surprise.
A complete other story in my head, because I heard I see you read them all, so you left letters and then he read it.
But that's the thing, it's between I physically see red and it's I see red, like I see cold.
Yeah, but
and
I
you read I see red and
I see I hear I heard I see you read them.
I see you read them. I like that though. Well, it still works.
It works, yeah. It's red. It's like mysterious.
He had of me. Every bit of pain he felt was brought upon me. I could not resuscitate. His gaze was paralyzed. When he looked into my eyes, something wasn't right.
I see you read them all alone. That's what I have. Cindy from Ireland. Cindy, remember to send something to Leo as well. Cindy says, I'm so going to buy this online. So,
Cindy, you are so nice. I'm distorting. You are so nice. Thank you.
You can distort as long as you don't. What's the word I heard? She said distorting. I don't know what I know.
Miss, yeah.
It's my head. It's my head. My head is an asylum. So,
the name of my album.
Wow. Yeah.
Product placement.
So the name you sing under is Emma Van Heen.
Yes.
Which I think is very clever, because I can hear, once again, like Ayers Vizza, I can hear Emma Van Gengen.
That's exactly. Everyone calls me, oh, it's Emma Van Heen.
Yeah. Van Heen.
That's my name.
Clever. It's on iTunes. It is for sale. Already. Asylum, Emma.
I'm downloading it. Yeah. As soon as I get home.
Isn't it beautiful?
I can give you a hard copy as well. I do have old school stuff.
You must give to Leo Sayer.
I will. I have enough.
Please, okay, you must give to Leo Sayer, because you never know. He's traveling the world. He might be listening to it. He might just love it.
Know. That's a brilliant idea.
And his hair is magnificent.
And
I want him to listen to my stuff with
him. And he's got lots of friends.
I think he does.
You see,
he's even living in Australia now.
Yeah, but he goes all over.
I love Australia.
I don't know.
I love that music. The music from Australia.
I think you must tell him.
My friend Adama, I think that you are from Australia. Nee. Nee, nee. I kakker lakker en I groot.
Nee, dis weird mense. Maar jy moet vir Leo sê, want I love Australia blijkbaar. Anyway, so here's a song I love. It's The Bubble. It's where you meet someone. You say, come. Ooh, I like you. Come into my bubble. And then later you say, okay, you just shift up a bit, eh? Because you're
taking up too much space.
I need some space in my bubble.
Yeah.
And then later you should get fuck off from my bubble. Listen, I'm sorry that I'm swearing, but that's the way I'm talking.
No, but okay. If I like it, yeah, I just want to say this as well.
Come on into my space. Oh. I want you in my bubble.
Now she's in love, eh?
Come on into my space.
Come on.
I want you in my bubble. Come on into my space. Closer to me, hey, hey. And when you make me agree with every word
love
that
this.
You say, yes, I completely relate. I think I really like you. Every time I see you, it's on your feet. It's exciting. But every moment feels so right. When I start to break down the walls, I see nothing ever that the part of me.
See, that is so. Do you hear the intricacy of the voices there? It's not like, come on over, let's bump and grind. That's so easy to do. You just broke your watch.
Oh no, that's horrible.
It's not just a watch, it's a police.
Oh. It's a police. Did you get it for your 40th birthday yesterday? Because the police is broken, my darling.
Exactly.
Shh, bubble.
Okay. I cannot believe.
Now he's in my bubble.
He's in the bubble.
But then it gets a little weird. You're going to hear now.
Yeah.
Look, yeah. We sometimes like weird.
Listen to this.
I like you in my bubble, but give me my space. I like you in my bubble, but please give me my space. I like you in my bubble.
I just want some space.
But please give me my space.
She's getting irritated now.
I like you in my bubble. But please give me more space. I wish that I could track back to those moments where I had no intention to make you a different you. But instead I fixate on ways to create a mercy you might take. You make yourself to make me happy. Do you need yourself when I cannot see that I'm trying to help you start to move freely?
Now she's getting, what, must he go now?
Oh yeah, now it's going to get a little ugly. I walked so much in that recording.
I want you out of my bubble.
Is that your footsteps?
It's my footsteps.
Brilliant. Fucking brilliant, man. It's hard.
There's a kettle in the background boiling, but you don't really hear it. It's just there.
That was a mistake, eh?
It's a real thing.
Oh.
You gotta leave this bubble. I want back.
She's finished with him. Fuck off. I need my space. It's my ear. The instruments are all, like, aggressive now. Let's go now. Please. I'm wasting my time. Go. My bubble. Not your fucking bubble. So now he must absolutely go. And I've heard papers tearing.
Yes.
I've heard weird noises.
Yes, and I did all of that.
It's all layered, you see. So I never heard that paper up till now.
Now
wow.
I'm in my bubble, I'm in my own space. Now I'm in my bubble, I'm alone in my space.
Nice.
Now that I'm in my bubble,
yes.
And alone in my space, I gotta mend this bubble,
yes.
Let me clean up this place.
That's it, it's the best, to clean up and be on your own again. Isn't that just lovely? Ludwig in London, we got Myrta in Washington, we got Sean in Chicago, we got people in the Netherlands, we got people in South Africa. Buy this fucking CD. It is on iTunes. It's called Emma Van Heen Asylum. So be sure to tune.
Van Heen is V-A-N and then another word,
H-E-Y-N.
Okay. Van Heen. Now, talk to her while I go over to the messages.
So what I want to know is, so now, this is like this, the music, it's lovely, it's refreshing, but it's intense.
It is.
So do you like find yourself, like when you say that you zone out, do you go to like a space that is scary, that's like almost dark?
I really do. It's very
what
strange.
What happens?
No, I only write music when I'm really angry. When I'm really, really angry or really highly upset.
Jagged Little Pill.
It's intense. And then I just go into my bubble and then I start writing. And what happens is I tend to then leave it. I first write the lyrics and then I leave it for a long time because, I don't know, I struggle to, you know, put if I literally write the melody line to my to my lyrics instantly, it gets very morbid and depressing. So I try and create a bit of a quirkiness by waiting a little bit. And then sometimes I write a song within 20 minutes altogether. Other times I write over 2 years.
That's art. That is true art.
Please, your next album, have Casper in the studio.
I will.
Because he really seems to have fun.
What you must do, just
sample you.
Get me in, produce your album, and I'll sit there. And then if I hear a little noise,
yes,
I'll come up to you and say, what about a
yes, but then I'll sample it and we're going to make it cool.
Oh, it'll be so lovely. Yeah. I really love doing it.
Sound
lovely.
Engineer Casper J.
Casper.
Someone says here, Emma, you have a great voice.
Oh. Yes.
And then someone says, someone said, what a stunning interview with Emma. I love the show. I'm a fan for life. Is that for me or for Emma? That's what I
think. It's for you. But it's still very nice.
And then there's someone here, Michelle. I've lost you now. Where are you? Michelle says, you've got a lovely voice, Emma. Very Tori Amos like.
Emma.
Amos. Amos.
See?
I get it almost from the Bible.
Tori Amos is fantastic.
So you like that?
Thank you. She's amazing, guys.
And
she's crazy.
Happy Gavin. I've lost that. Life just gets better from 40, Gavin. I missed you guys, says Michelle.
Oh, again, thank you, Michelle.
Gavin nearly talked cock about me. Who's that?
Who's that?
Please don't tell me it's a hater. Haters are... Sometimes.
It might be Shaw.
Is it Shaw?
Well, what?
My own dad. Dad, you better check yourself.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, here. We're here, will I say. Here. Hallo julle. Ek luister al lank na Emma op Spotify. Oh, I love the show vandag. Ludwig. Oh, this is Ludwig.
Oh.
Ludwig, I thought you're going to love her. I thought you're going to rush over now and buy her, but you already listened to her on Spotify. That is
amazing.
And Ludwig is a nice guy.
Is he here?
He knows what he's doing.
Where is he?
He's in London.
Oh, goodness. Okay, sorry. I can't come say hello. Not now.
No, not now.
Sorry.
Not now.
Thank you, Ludwig.
That's very kind.
Wow.
And, well, now I suppose I must play a little Sting and then we go on. Is this working? No. Jesus, I must get my stuff right before Leo comes, eh? I can't stand. I can't even sit in the cock on phone. Okay. I want, is it Sting? Sting.
sien net kleertjies en blokkies.
Ek ook, ek ook. Maar ek wil 'n sting speel wat soos daai ene, hierdie ene.
Lees 'n boek in Braille in Westernaria.
Ram, 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 ram. Dis Gasperio.
There you go, that is my sting. And I sang that. Oh, Gavin, won't you bring me that drink? We are not allowed to have it close to this desk. I can't see Palesa, so she's not going to see me. Let me quickly. Just talk to Emma quickly.
My mic is not on.
Ah, what?
My mic is not on.
What's your name? Is your mic not on?
It's
Palesa watching.
Palesa is watching.
Take it away.
That was horrible. Cover Vanessa with pillows.
What is this game thing? No. I haven't listened to this. The game featuring Emma. What's this?
Oh, that's something I did a collaboration when I was like 17. I was little. I wrote this literally on the go.
What is on the go?
Oh no, wait, this is the game. Sorry, the arrival is different. I wrote this at a casino, at Monte Casino actually.
Yay!
Yes, I am! Look at that magnificent hair! Yeah, it's a lot more house. I collabed with Helmut Mayer. And we just did 3 tracks, I think, together.
So you learned to do all this just by heart?
This specifically, he produced. So that's why it's all electronic.
Yeah, but you didn't study music.
No, I didn't.
But you studied classical piano.
Piano, yes. And I did sing in choirs for many years. Bye, Aaron. So this was all the harmonies from Dankum.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm in awe.
Tigerbird Children's
talent. I never pictured you like what I heard in studio from the first time I met you.
No, hey.
She looked like a marketing executive.
No.
Yeah.
No. She looked
earlier
artist.
On.
Now she looks artistry, but artistically.
I'm wearing a suit.
She looks artistic. No.
Like, thank you.
No. But she, you would imagine her with a guitar, and she says she can't play one. You know, I
maybe
thinking,
with the hair,
I
but with the
her.
Outfit. Corporate.
I was putting
that is what I pictured. Vibe. That's what I pictured. Because again, Casper did not tell me.
My other outfits are a little less corporate, I think. I suppose it's a new thing. I'm trying to be an adult.
We love it.
That's why
and
I'm
we're
going to
take pictures now of you in that corporate surrounding.
Yes.
Because Mr. Gavin Prince here is like all corporate and clients and Learjets and God knows
but
what.
I can appreciate Emma Van Heen's music.
It's beautiful. I'm a fan. I'm an absolute fan.
I've become a fan in the last hour.
Yeah. Download and buy her music or put it on your music iTunes or your Amazon or where they are.
I'm going to put it on my phone anyway.
Spotify sounds like you've got problems as a teenager. Hi, I use Spotify and my skin is so much better.
Of I could use it for Spotify no neda. Like
yeah. Spotify.
Yeah.
Like it's a game. Teenagers play.
It's Emma Van Heen. We will... Nana played one track for Leo. Which one must we play?
I don't know.
What haven't we played?
Because the thing is, we can't play it again to the people listening.
No, we can't do it again.
And you've been throwing all the good ones.
No, every song is good. Every
from
song
top
is
to bottom. Remember what he said earlier.
From top to bottom.
Okay, wait. Now, Emma, I've got to fade you a little bit, my darling.
Play taboo. That's what you can
do. No, when he's here. Taboo.
Mean,
okay.
Not now. I don't need to listen to that now.
No, when he's here. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to play. There is a new kid on the block who does... I've been promoting this guy forever. He does Donald Trump so well. He's doing the best of anyone. And he's got his own show now on Comedy Central. And
local guy?
No. American, but he does it with finesse. He does it with wit. You can see, like when he greets someone as Donald, he pulls them in. So it's like,
wow,
because Donald does that. Donald does that, eh? He pulls you in when he greets you. He's very rude. he does everything, the voice. Now, you're not going to see him. You're just going to hear him, and you can already...
Is he better than Trevor Noah? When Clever does it, Donald.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Riyad Musa does it as well. Very good. But this guy is... Alec Baldwin looks like a grade one school child.
Alec Baldwin? Wow.
When he... against this guy, Donald Trump.
Again.
Because Alec Baldwin does it on Saturday Night Live. And it's horrible. But now I must just quickly find it. I'm going to play that. This is a speech he did the other day in Washington. This Anthony Amatuik is his name. Mm-hmm. From next week, he's on Comedy Central, and he is going to do a Trump chat show where Trump talks to the people. Okay. So here we go. This was him in Washington a couple of days ago.
Thank you so much. We have so many incredible people here. So many wonderful people. Such a large crowd. And there are more people who couldn't even come. And it's so great. So great. And we had to explain that. We had to explain it. We had to. And so you're all here now to finally... Remember American Carnage? It's unbelievable. So much America. And it's even gotten better. How are you guys loving the American Carnage now? 85 days of feeling like garbage. Isn't it great? Isn't it great? It's so wonderful. And so many of you support me, and you're here to see me. And I'm so pleased. Is the wind dying down now? Now, excuse me, satire is the heart of political discourse. So it is a joke. And I'm the biggest joke on the block. Let me tell you. Now, first off, what's the big deal about my taxes? Okay, since you guys are my supporters, I'm going to share with you what's on my taxes. Because this is between us, okay? Don't let the protesters know what I'm going to tell you. So what? I owe $50 million to Deutsche Bank? Who cares? Who cares? That's publicly known. But what you don't know is I know where all the Nazi gold is hidden in Switzerland. And I have it. And I have it. I have it. I have it. I have it. Just because I have dirty ties to Azerbaijan, I have so many ties to Azerbaijan. I have ties to Russia. And Russia tells me this all the time. They say I'm a great asset. A great asset. And that I became a great asset in the late 80s, when I extended my finances to own illegal poker rooms in New York City, when I started selling properties way over the budget margin for cash so that I could hide Russian money in the United States. And now I got all the way to the presidency as the Russians are keeping me on a short leash because I'm a dog. But what you don't know in my tax returns is I have the original uncut David Hasselhoff video of him eating a burger off the floor. Remember that? Remember that? And we just ended the visitor logs. No more visitor logs. We're not doing it anymore. We're not doing it. Get them out. Get them out. Get them out of here. Get them out of here. Get them out of here. No more visitor logs, okay? Okay, we're not running a B&B. We're not running a B&B. Barack Obama ran a B&B. But that sitcom's over. And now Fawlty Towers is here. And I run a hotel. And hotels are places where you anonymously go to get peed on. Okay? That's what you do. That's what I do. I do it all the time. And I love it. I love it. I love every bit of it. What's the big deal about releasing my tax returns? First off, I claim Ivanka as three dependents. My daughter, my mother, and my wife. We're going to have the first White House divorce, I guarantee you. First White House divorce. Aren't you glad I'm not in Mar-a-Lago today? So we have these taxes, and we're going to release them. And I want you to know that everyone can look at them now, and we're all even, right? Am I now a good president?
No!
Even if I release my tax returns?
No!
That's right. Because no matter what I do, remember this, I am a prop. I am a brand less than a human being. And the truth is, excuse me, I'm a brand, not a tool. I'm a brand. I'm a brand. Let me do my own material, please. Let me do my own material. And I'm not the real guy. Save it for the real guy. Save it for the real guy. Okay? But remember this. I'm the United Airlines of presidents. And remember that the other airlines are just as bad. So if you remove me, we have 40 years of people corruptly manipulating the system back here, over there, and all around this country to screw you out of your own interests. Very important. And I like screwing, but not that way. So you need to make sure, it's so important, that you don't just focus on me, but on the system that put me in place. Let's remember that. Look at, you're cheering for me. Isn't this weird? It must make everyone so uncomfortable. We're going to make America great again, folks, when I leave office, hopefully next week. Thank you so much.
Isn't he just absolutely wonderful? It's Anthony Amatuik. He's got his own chat show next week, from next week on Comedy Central, as President Trump.
You were right. He's spot on.
But in the meanwhile, let's forget everything.
Yes.
He's here.
Woo!
Hey, Australia.
Yay! Hello, guys. How are you doing?
I've got special sting for you.
He's ours.
You've done a sting.
Yes.
Extra. Special!
Oh,
how much did that cost?
It cost a soul. But it was so nice.
Four voices in 15 minutes.
Okay. Leo Sayer is here live in the studio. He's performing from tonight at the Teatro at Monte Cassino till Sunday.
Yeah, till Sunday. We've got tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday.
I'll see you tonight.
Please come down.
I will see you tonight, and
yeah,
everyone,
good.
Please
if
come.
If Casper's there, everybody will be there.
But why only Johannesburg? Why only?
No, the thing came through. I mean, I've been trying to come back here and play for years. I think the last time was 17 years ago when it was the anniversary of the Super Bowl at Sun City. So they asked me back for that, and which was lovely. I mean, what a place. And then before that, I did a little trip for Blue Train a couple of years earlier than that, but kind of trying to find a promoter in this crazy country is very, very hard.
When you said Blue Train, is that the Blue Train?
The Blue Train.
I thought
yeah.
It was a band that you had.
No.
The Blue Train.
Stimella.
You got a train song.
Yeah, I know.
You said train all the time on that Blue Train.
No, it was two trains meeting in the Karoo for the millennium, for like the
sweet.
1999 becomes 2000, and we did a mystery show in the middle of the desert.
Oh,
but, you know, but all the time, you know, when I was coming down to doing things like that and Sun City, I was thinking, oh, I kind of play to the real people. And, you know, that's what you want to do. But look, this is an opportunity to play three shows here in Joburg. And it's going to lead to, I think I'm back because I've had this wonderful welcome from everybody. So it's going to lead to some more shows. And please God, I'll be back next year and we'll be doing more. And
yes.
We'll get to the Cape.
Yeah,
there I go. And we'll get to PE and we'll get to Pretoria and we'll get to Durban.
And you'll
we'll
come
get to
visit
everywhere.
Me again.
And I want to do downtown Joburg
no,
as well.
No, I'm so sorry. I said, and
here,
visit
yes.
me again.
We should do a concert in here. You've got a room
me.
Big enough next door.
Yeah, thank you.
You can hurl me off the cliff.
Next time we're going to have musicians, everything.
Yeah.
I just know, this is Emma. She was.
I know. She's very beautiful.
She's from Cape Town.
Too much for my eyes this morning.
And she looks like Anna Kendrick.
He's even more handsome.
Oh, thank you so much.
He is handsome.
From Cape Town.
Yeah. Oh, goody.
That's
good.
Right.
Okay.
And all that plastic surgery.
It's working. It's working.
Before
not
we...
many, not much tits yet, but it's coming.
Under the eyes.
Yes.
Now this lady Emma has got a new CD out. She is fantastic, Leo. Let's just play a little bit of it because then we're gonna go
darling?
To you.
Oh my God.
She is.
She's where strangers boots.
That's her.
Top of town.
You say it's listening
to this. Your persona, because it isn't you.
Listen it up.
like the drum.
Thank you.
All of this can rise within you, a calculated act. All of this can rise within you when your mind's intact. Are you the type of girl that tries to break the rule by making peace with shallow choices to stay in the groove? All of this can rise within you when you drink the sap of artificial expectations to get you on the map. And every morning, noon, and evening, you have chosen to become a mutilated lady to put in the beat. Your very choices are deceiving to those around you. Now what have you done? You've had your fun and now you're taboo. You need a song about flesh. To be acceptable. You need a song about flesh.
You like Prince.
To be unwanted. You need a song about flesh.
I do.
Isn't it wonderful?
It's great, isn't it? What a vibe.
What a talented lady, eh?
All South African musicians with you? Producer, or you doing it?
I do it all myself.
Oh, good girl.
But that's why I want you to listen.
Yeah, we've got a great girl down under, Lord. She's in New Zealand.
Lord.
And yeah. We love her. She does everything again. And Kate Bush is my oldest friend.
Too.
And she does everything herself. You know?
Oh, my gosh, Kate Bush.
But your new CD, you wrote...
I'm making a CD at the moment where I'm playing everything, thanks to the great God computer.
Oh, your computer's amazing. Yeah.
And I'm just twisting things around, and if I've got a guitar sample, I've got a little amp in the corner, I put a microphone on it, so it's all, and it's sounding really big.
Oh,
I'm calling it Selfie, because it's all my, it's all me.
That's
awesome. Yeah, and I've been wanting to do it for ages, because, you know, you look at Picasso, and he doesn't get someone in to do the blues and the greens, mm-hmm. he does it himself.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, mm-hmm. it's about time, you know. I mean, I love working with, I mean, here I'm working with fantastic musicians. It's a guy called Gavin Langeveldt, who's put together the band, Denny Lalouette on bass.
Oh, yeah, I know him.
Denny, yeah.
Yeah, and David Klassen on drums.
Oh, yes,
outrageous.
Good people.
Yakonel Mouton on keyboards, who's an amazing player. Gavin on guitar.
Gavin, I didn't know.
Yes, a man of many talents.
Yeah. And he's come to me via a lovely old friend called Miriam Stockley, who's a wonderful South African
Suppy
singer.
Sisters.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And so I said, look, I've got to come down and work with a band. They did have some suggestions for me. They looked a bit old. So I thought, I said, you know, can I find some? She said, go to Gavin. Gavin will find you everybody. And he's done that, and it's wonderful. Lovely girl called Chanel Davids, who's singing with us as well in the band, and I'm duetting with her in the show, and she's really a talent to come, you know, so that's really nice. And my guitarist Paul Burton from Australia, who's the musical director, comes with me, flies down with me. So here we are, and we just put it together from nothing, and we're in rehearsing the last couple of days.
And you're excited now?
Oh, I'm just on it. You know, it sounds as good as any band that I've got anywhere in the world. I go off to London afterwards, and I'm doing a UK tour.
But not with them, eh?
No, I've got another band there. So I have bands all over the world.
Fantastic.
Which is crazy. But it's good.
Wow.
But I love the interact with the band. But this time on the record, it was fun to lock myself away in my barn and do it all myself.
Yeah, you do it yourself because...
And I only play keyboards. So, you know, that's all I can
play. I also only play keyboards. That's all I can play.
Yeah, you're the same. Actually, we're dyslexic.
We've got
to get together and work.
I know. Let's just... together.
Mate, come on.
It's fine. I'll have seven... synths, and then I'll have
about 50 computers and all my
computers
samples.
And your samples, and then we can share a piano.
I can't wait.
Absolutely. Mm. No, stop it. We're just doing an interview.
Yeah, we are. and then we must just have one massive-ass timpani. Yeah.
Can we date as well?
We can.
Oh, cool.
It's jumping a bit quick.
Yeah.
But we both have curly hair.
Well, Prince dated Sheena Easton. You know,
I'm going red. I'm actually... I'm working out a sweat.
I can't see any red at all.
Really, it's the makeup.
She's completely just... Yeah. But anyway, you sound good, girl.
Thank you.
Let me just take a sound off. Yes. If you didn't know, this is the Casper Radio Show. And no, I'm joking.
it's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
Wow, that was amazing.
There's a lot of things to discuss, and I don't know where to begin, but let's begin in Australia. You're there. You where do you stay? Because
I came there 12 years ago because I'd always had this wonderful relationship with Australia. I mean, you know, showing my age now, but back in 1974 when I first toured there, it was the first place in the world where I truly got Beatlemania. When I went to America just before that, I was a chic artist, you know. I was dressed in the white face.
Yes,
all in white face.
Show must go on.
on.
And the gigs were very secretive and nobody knew what it looked like. And, you know, I got had some wonderful opening acts. J.J. Cale and Hall & Oates and, you know, all, you know, and Herbie Hancock opened one show. And, oh, my God, it was just incredible. Larry Coryell, a jazz guitarist, you know. So it was a very chic kind of thing. But then I came down to Australia and it was all screaming girls at the airport.
Oh, really? And,
you know, be rushing around in limousines and they're trying to turn the car over and things like that. It was just mad. Wow. And we broke the Beatles' attendance record when they came down. I think actually that wasn't really fair because the Beatles probably had to go home. Yeah. But I had nowhere to go.
Yeah, you stayed.
So I stayed, you know. So, but we did incredible business and I fell in love with the country that moment and said, one day I'm going to come and live here. And now I'm doing that, you know.
Fantastic.
And so I'm a citizen of Australia, still a citizen of Britain. Although dual. After Brexit, I think I might give that up.
Yeah.
But I'm a dual citizen, yeah. And Australia's home is my home, you know.
Why am I playing this?
Maybe my second home is going to be South Africa.
Why am I playing this?
Because it's Leo Sayer singing.
And it's fantastic.
And it's Thunder in My Heart.
Yeah,
but and this is the remix.
Yes, but why am I playing the remix? Because that's
I don't know.
That's the time you
nobody's inside your head, Casper, only you.
Hello? Hello? Isn't this? I'm trying to sound like
we're
I
trying
know.
To get in there, but it's very hard.
But
ears are blocked by headphones. We can't go in that way.
When you went to Australia, wasn't this a hit in England?
It was, yeah, yeah. It was the moment that I was actually leaving, and these guys come up with a mix. The guy, DJ Mech, really didn't do anything, to be true.
Yeah, it's called Mech, DJ Mech.
He was a guy who had a record company and had a strong manager behind him. And they tried to make this stupid story that Leo is lost in Australia and he doesn't even know this record's coming out. Come on. They couldn't do it without my permission because I own it.
Yeah.
So anyway, there was a team called Bimbo Jones who are incredible remix people. They've got hits with Mariah Carey and everything all over the world. And I now work with them. I write with one of the guys called Lee Dagger. And Mark JB, the other guy I write with as well. So these young hip guys, it's really interesting co-writing with them, you know, taking a tune that they've got up, you know, for their show and then putting lyrics to it.
Fantastic.
Twisting it around, editing it, you're changing it all. So, you know, and they created this and the damn thing was released as a white label first. It came out and nobody knew it was Leo Sayer singing it. They thought that would be very clever. And there's this girl at Radio 1 in England, you know, the very famous show, and she's like the top, I can't remember her name, but she's the top. She said, oh, come on, it's Leo Sayer. She didn't remember it from the day, but she just knew the voice. She said, only one person sings like that. But the peculiar thing is, on the record, that's my voice from 1977.
Oh, they sampled
because
that.
They sampled it because I didn't have the 24 tracks of it. You know, they're separate tracks. So they just had to take the sample and kind of twist it and filter it. Very clever.
Very well done.
Remove the bass and change the tempo. Cut it all up so you don't hear some of the verses. And it went straight to number one in the UK, and it's wonderful. When I heard it, and I was just about to, I was going, go, let me have it, let me hear it. I went, yes, you have carte blanche. Do what you like.
Wow.
You know, it's a smash.
That is a smash.
And you know, this 69-year-old guy goes to the disco and dances this bloody thing. It's great.
Are you talking about yourself now? Because you are. I can't
Next
believe.
Next month, I'm 69.
Can you believe it?
Wow.
I can't. To celebrate.
No.
Elton John is 70. You're 69.
Yeah.
How old is Mick Jagger?
72 or something like that.
Yeah. And you're still going.
But it's kind of inspiring. I mean, you know, the world is here for the young and music is here for the young. Unfortunately, guys like you, you've got to go independent to do these things, really, because record companies will give you a committee full of people who know better than you. You know, have styled you like in The Voice and all those shows and Idol, you know. And they just have all the parameters and they suck the creativity out of young artists, sadly. But I think it's kind of inspiring that, you know, the music of our time, which we really worked hard on making, you know. I mean, we started off from nothing and we'd have an idea in the studio and we put it together, only just trying to kind of, you know, fulfill the zeitgeist of our time, as it were, you know, singing about how things were now, and then suddenly this music travels and It travels with time like a wine, you know. You lay down a 47 Petrus bottle, you know, and suddenly it's like, that's the most greatest thing in the world in 2017.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what it's like.
And it stood the test of time.
So there's a legacy, which is good. So us old guys can still cut it. I get a lot of criticism. I've had a lot of criticism here in South Africa. Oh, can he still walk? You know, what can he do? This old man. You know, we've got our young heroes. We don't need you. Go away. But I'm determined to prove that I'm as young as ever. I think like I'm 21, you know.
That's good.
I hang around with young people. It rubs off.
I'm 94.
You are incredible.
And
I know.
I think like,
and I was like, yeah, exactly. And you think like a 95-year-old.
I do. Yeah. I do.
No.
It's, but you're a legend. I mean, there you
leg
are.
End. Let's get this right. I'm a leg end.
You're a leg end.
I'm the thing that hangs off the end of a leg.
You're a leg end with all this backlog of
backlash. Let's call it. Come on, that's a backlash show, and people want their money back for those earlier songs.
No, they don't.
Oh, bless you.
We don't. We love it.
No, it's nice. It's like it's been laid down, you know.
You influenced millions of people with your music.
Look, I was in Soweto yesterday, and I had lovely, lovely, lovely blackest faces in the world coming up to me, kids, and they're going,
they love your music.
Man.
Yeah.
You know,
wow.
And,
oh,
my goodness. You know, when you've got that, you feel powerful, you know.
Mm. Let me tell you something. The problem that we have here is that, you know, to come and see you is a lot of money.
I know. It's
they would love.
I understand.
And that is a big.
But maybe
problem.
I wouldn't.
But your music is very.
Believe me,
popular.
I'm getting paid very little because all they've said to me is there is no money here.
But I wanted to come anyway. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, your support is here.
No, I know. Look, the people who've brought me here have a. They're very theatrical people.
Yeah.
You know, so
good
I'm
for them.
Filling in between the shows, as it were, you know, between the Princess Daisy and Aardvark the Animal, you know, or whatever they are, these musicals. I don't like musicals, so, you know, it means nothing to me. But I'm just happy to be here, and there comes my plane. No. I'm just happy to be. This is an opportunity for me to open a door, and, you know, this will follow. I mean, we'll play everywhere again, you know.
Please.
And thanks to good old Peter Gallo and the days when we had Gallo Records.
Yes.
He opened me up to everybody in this country. So Cape Coloureds, Blacks, you know, whatever. Whites,
even
Afrikaners,
Indians.
Boers, Indians, yes. Yeah. Big in Durban. And that's what for me was always important. I was only going to, you know, because we had this situation with apartheid where the rest of the world was going. I mean, believe me, they set bomb threats in all my concerts because they didn't understand what I was doing. I would only ever play to mixed audiences. And you know, and when Winnie Mandela took me down to Soweto, I sang off the back of a truck.
Fantastic.
You know, with all those kind of guys
when?
And those armored 1976.
Wow.
That was in the heat.
In the heat. And I remember the street, you know, where Nelson's house was. And we were there, and all of the guys blockading the top of the road and everything. In the end, the Afrikaners were kind of fans of Leo as well. So the policeman said, go, Leo, you're good, you're cool.
Yeah.
So it was the only moment, I think, that maybe things, you know, things kind of relaxed.
Street.
You know, Vilakazi Street. Mm. Yeah, we were there yesterday. And it's the first time back since then. It's kind of changed. But it's humbling when you go there.
You'll see that I very subtly put your music in. And then we go out again.
You're a DJ, aren't you?
Yeah.
So, you know.
Oh, so this, why is this song so important?
I'm a man of the road, a hobo by name. I don't seek entertainment, just poetry and game. But if I were to say to you, then yes, I would try my hand.
Woo!
Yes. As hungry
this was all about.
I'm sure you will understand.
Now it's dancing, eh?
Yeah, suddenly he realizes he can dance.
Of course I can dance, of course I can dance.
Of course.
I'm sure I can dance, I'm sure I can dance.
Can I tell you what it's about?
Yeah.
Well, at this moment, you see, this is about a guy. It was all based on Charlie Chaplin and the Gold Rush, that lovely old black and white film. And, you know, when he goes into that bar and he's kind of got no decent clothes, he wants to dance with the girl, he's got everything, so he pretends. You know, and when I went to America the first time, I mean, you go there, the best singers in the world, man, Ray Charles and everything, and they're saying, you sing really good, and I'm going, no, please. You know, it's humbling. I'm nothing. You know, here I am in the, and yet they're saying, yeah, but you're great, get up. up on stage. I didn't have my confidence yet. And get up on stage and do it. You know, you're great. Believe in yourself and everything. So this is me going, I can't dance. I can't dance. You know, I can't dance.
Yeah.
You know, all the song, you know, I'm just a hobo by name. You know. And you walk in there and all of a sudden you look on the stage and you're standing there. You go, okay, I believe the bullshit. And you go, of course I can dance. I'm really great. Ah, the floor's moving. So it's about a transition. And it's about me kind of getting into America and kind of going with that chutzpah that they all believe in. You know, finding that, forget your humility and forget your, you know, just go for it.
That's American, yeah.
And if you go for it, it's amazing what happens. And I took that transition in my life and suddenly standing up there on stage and really believing in yourself and using the power and everything and trying to get people to go mad during a show, which is what I do, it suddenly became a very releasing thing. And suddenly you're a useful member of the community rather than this kind of legend, you know.
Rudy Valentino, you should have seen me moving right across the floor.
But you know,
hand me down my tuxedo. Next week I'm coming back for more.
I was
always good with words.
You're right about these, that you must believe in yourself in America. But you have got a humbleness, which...
Oh, thank you.
No.
I don't like adulation very much. I mean, if people tell me I'm good, it just goes...
No, but it's so easy to talk to you because you, you know everyone.
Look, I'm just a boy. I'm just still learning how to do things. I mean, I've actually got a theory in my head that my best years are just coming up now.
Absolutely.
And my creativity is amazing. I've written 4 songs since I've been here.
Wow. You know? Stunning.
And I'm writing my head, no instruments at all. And I've developed a really, I'm not good at anything else. I can't remember anybody's name, but I can remember a song.
A tune.
And I just have this, you know, I have somehow found this ability, God knows where from, but it's, you know, it's just fun. You can be creative. And now, you know, I'm writing very songs that are maybe very political and songs that are kind of, I hope that are going to do some good. I wrote a big song about Julian Assange on the last album. Nobody bloody noticed it, but you know, I managed because he's a friend of mine and I really believe in him, you know. I believe in people who can tell the truth, you know.
Just quickly tell me the name of that CD that you wrote.
Restless Years.
Restless Years. Yes.
We are at the moment just on the edge of getting it released here, and so we're gonna get a release here. So that will be out as soon as I.
What's the Julian Assange song called?
It's called "The Wrong Man."
Okay, let me try and find it.
Okay, oh, look at that!
Isn't
it wonderful what you can do on digital radio, on freeform, CliffCentral.com internet radio that you're all listening to now? Casper Radio Show,
and it is
isn't it good what we can do? Plug.
It is, but I've forgotten the name of the Julian Assange song.
Oh, The Wrong Man. The Wrong Man.
Well, it's not on the Amazon. Sorry.
It should be.
I can find it.
I must find it. It's not Mr. In Between, hey?
No. It's up the other end of the album.
I've got it.
You got it. He's got it.
This one?
I was set up.
My credit was gone.
I was a patsy. In a world gone wrong.
Because I revealed
that the truth was a lie.
The truth was a lie. Though I committed no sin.
I committed no crime. Never been charged.
I committed no crime.
So they locked me away. And buried the key. So that the world could forget about me. Now I'm the boy in the bubble.
Your bubble.
I'm the link in the chain.
I'm the link in the chain.
I'm the cause and the trouble. It's bringing you pain.
It's bringing you pain.
Yeah, you, government. Stunning. Stunning. Yeah. How did you meet him?
I met him, I was in Denmark, a long time before all his troubles kind of came up, and he came to talk. And they said, he's Australian, you've got to meet this guy. And so I was in a hotel, and he was sitting in the bar, this long, tall, blonde, very handsome guy. And I came down, and I started talking to him, and he started talking to me, and he knew all about me. And he said that his mother had been in England and she'd followed me and everything like that. And we got on like a house on fire. And then he started telling me what he was doing. And I'd never heard of WikiLeaks. And he, in about 20 minutes, he described the whole modus operandi of WikiLeaks, which was wonderful, to allow people to tell the truth who are in kind of oppressed in situations of government where everybody says you mustn't tell everybody what we're going on, what's going on. So he became the conduit for all of that. Of course, they say that he makes the stories. He doesn't. He just listens to it. He gives a very clever kind of route that by coding, people can send stuff into him, like Bradley Manning did, without being detected. What happened with Bradley Manning is he, unfortunately, it was online, and he talked to a guy who was with the CIA.
Shit.
So, you know, this guy found out, and therefore he was revealed. Mm. And that happens, you know. And because Julian's got so much attention, and they've tried to block him so many times.
I see the US now wants him again.
Yeah,
all of a sudden.
Yeah, because they want Ecuadorian oil as well, you know. So these are the things that happen in the world. But we live in a very twisted world. You know, I know you've got your problems here at the moment in SA, which will
get... turbulence, yes.
You've got turbulence, yeah. And it always goes down to some people who don't want everything that all the people want. And, you know, that's the core of it all. And we won't name any names, but it's happening all over the world.
Absolutely.
In my country, too.
Yeah. Now so, there's a snap election.
But it's good for us, the people, to have a voice. And, you know, people power will always win. And karma's a wonderful thing. The
we love karma.
Back.
We love karma.
Yeah, I got all her records.
Why am I playing this record?
You keep asking me these questions. Ah, Cliff Richard.
Yeah,
we do this in the show. Dreaming.
Do you do it in the show?
Yeah, we do it in the show.
I just switch it off.
Yes.
Oh, I love this song.
We're doing a really long show. It's going over 2 hours.
But why am I playing this?
Because I wrote it.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it was a very...
it's like a quiz for himself.
Yeah, do you know, I once had to do a TV quiz, and they brought in a fan, and she her score was like 55, and mine was 3.
Wow. You love your life.
Everybody else always knows more about you than you. But no, that was a guy called Alan Tarney, who I did Orchard Road with, and More Than I Can Say, and producer and multi instrumentalist, great talent. And he said, "Look, I'm producing Cliff next. Why don't we write a song for him?" So I had an idea, and I had this thing. I'd been trying to get hold of a girl, probably, and 4 o'clock I've been caught walking all night, you know, trying to call you up, trying to think of you. And I just took the lyrics in the studio. We had that in 10 minutes, and Cliff sang it then in front of us. So it was all it's all recorded in the session, you know, written and recorded in the session.
And
you into my life.
In Pretoria, there's this crazy Oompa Loompa listening to that, and I'll never. I was also in love listening to that. I'm dreaming of me, and now I speak
to
the
guy. Records like this are quite slick in a way, you know, production wise and everything. But sometimes it's really nice to do that. It's really crafted, you know. It's really cool. You can get all those vocals just right and everything, which is what Cliff's about. And he's still singing it in concert.
He
always tells me he loves the song, and you know, so it's nice to have got that in under your bonnet.
There's a couple of people who says,
okay,
Leo Sayer is the coolest guy. Hello.
Oh. I'm pretty hot right now, baby.
Let me just put some going on.
I got it all going on.
Yes.
Silver Bird. Oh, the show must go on. Oh, what a wonderful song. Listen.
We're doing that intro in the show. That's how the band come. Oh, God, I'm revealing my show.
Don't say the show. I'm there tonight.
Okay,
Okay, let's
you'll be sitting there. He said he was going to.
Now he's going to do that. Now he's going to do dreaming.
Whatever.
Yeah. Leo Say is the coolest guy. Like Suzanne Vega, he keeps writing new stuff and doesn't rely on past fame.
Yeah.
Wow.
I honestly live 20 minutes ago and 20 minutes to come. I don't believe in looking back or forward. You can't do anything about the past, and you can't fix the future.
Yeah, someone says, I love you. I love you, Leo Sayer. He says, you are a bloody legend.
Uh-huh. I'll turn gay for you, baby.
I can't believe I'm listening to you. And that's
very sweet. Thank you.
Lubabalo.
Lubabalo.
Sounds like
fucking
call those lubricant. But anyway,
Lubabalo.
Lubabalo. It's a new thing that you ride late at night. I'm getting on to my Lubabalo, darling. You
Lubabalo.
Lubabalo.
Thank you for that.
Lubabalo.
Then there is someone who says he has sung many songs written by Albert Hammond. Yeah, yeah. We'll talk about one of the best, biggest ones.
Yes.
Would love to hear more about his friendship with Hammond. Okay, we'll talk about that now.
That.
Just make a mental note, Gavin.
Yes, yes.
We'll talk about Albert Hammond.
Albert Hammond.
Then someone says, my dad listened to Leo. Fuck, I lost it now. Wait. My dad listened to Leo.
There, you had it.
Yeah, when I was a kid.
I'm going to listen to this show from Australia, I'll tell you that. I'm just going straight on.
Specifically his album, Just a Boy.
Yes.
Which also featured two covers of songs Leo wrote for Roger Daltrey.
Yeah,
that's right.
I can tell you the story behind that.
No, not just now. Okay. I always like, just get the praises are coming up.
Yeah.
Even the newest album, Restless Years, oh, he knows everything, eh? Has so many great songs. Yes. I'd like to know how many of the older songs compared to the newer ones he would do this weekend, says Johan. What would you say?
Oh, well, there are two. We're going to play two of the songs from Restless Years. And I think people will kind of find that, you know, because my songs are so autobiographical. I mean, everybody keeps asking me to write a book. I keep saying, no, I'm still telling my story in songs at the moment. And I will do it eventually. But but at the moment, I'm quite happy to tell my story in songs on stage. So if you come to see me,
in
that's
a show,
my autobiography. So,
Albert Hammond.
I do two songs from Restless Years, but you'll see how they fit, and they're kind of relevant
to
the whole show, yeah. And Albert Hammond...
No, you're very good. I am scatterbrained. Okay, so Johan.
Are you a Gemini too?
Yeah!
Oh, my God.
I'm a Gemini.
I'm on the cusp. So I'm two twins and a bull.
Oh, I'm on the very...
The bull runs around going mad while the two twins sit there trying to reason.
I'm a total Gemini. In
May 21st.
I'm June 1.
Okay, you're
in the middle.
It's hard being a Gemini. Bob Dylan's a Gemini. That's why he's able to do so many millions of things together and this incredible
but
creative
But you also
mind.
Do millions of things. You paint, you design,
well,
you do
I'm
graphics.
Not very good at that anymore, but I do a little bit, yeah. But mostly it's all music. I used to be an artist, and I've turned all of the methods of making art. I mean, most in songwriting becomes very visual for me. You know that thing where you dream landscapes and you see, you know, it's a little bit like approaching a painting. The whole thing, you know. Let's talk Albert Hammond. Hammond. I went Top Gear for a moment.
Can I just do an intro about this, and then you can do it?
Yeah.
We talked about you a couple of weeks ago. I'm sorry, but it was good things we said.
You can talk about me anyway. The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
Uh-huh. So we played. Yeah. When I Need You, Albert Hammond, and I thought, why didn't it make him a hit? Why did it make Leo Sayer famous? And the way you sing it is as if you mean it. The Albert Hammond one was like just like, "When I need you," you were like singing to someone. "When I need you," it's
well,
like,
Albert is what Albert had. Albert is an interesting character. He's half English, half Gibraltarian.
What the hell is that?
His mother's Spanish. You know, this little place, Gibraltar. Dog. Yeah,
no, Gibraltar.
Yeah,
or a Gibraltarian.
I can have a Gibraltarian.
I'm off.
No pineapple.
No. Scottish area.
But anyway, he's a lovely mix between... And if you think of a Spanish guy, you know, with all that salsa, you know, amore, all that kind of... He's got all that. He's a walking romantic. And he writes melodies like nobody in the world. I mean, like this one. The lyrics of this were written by a girl called Carol Bayer-Sager. Yes. And you might remember her... I'm going out today. I'm leaving... what is it?
I don't know. Something
you know you're doing well.
I'm doing well here.
But anyway, she also wrote the lyrics for Groovy Kind of Love.
Groovy kind of love.
Yeah, so she's one of those kind of great traditional lyricists. Albert always had people write the lyrics, but Albert's melodies are amazing.
Yeah.
So I met Albert when I was looking to do the album Endless Flight with Richard Perry, my first, you know, proper record in 1976 in America. The end of 75, I was there with Richard, and Richard turns around and says, "I don't like your songwriting. I like your voice. So let's find some songs you can sing." Eventually, I managed to write some songs like "You Make Me Feel Like Dancing."
Yeah, you wrote wonderful songs.
Yeah, but we started off kind of looking at songs that we could work on, and this tape came in a little, you know.
Oh, one of those cassettes.
Yeah, from a songwriter, from a publisher who was getting me all these songwriters, and gave me this incredible song, When I Need You. Because when I listened to the lyrics and sang the song, my ex-wife, Janice, was at home in England.
This is very emotional music. I'm going to fill up.
and she was at home in England, and we couldn't afford to bring her out to LA. And I was missing her like mad, and I was kind of on the transatlantic phone, which had this delay, you know. Hello, hello. You know, your own voice coming back. And then... down the and then suddenly she sounds like a robot. and I couldn't ever really sort of say how I felt about her and how she felt about me. Just didn't work. So I recited the lyrics to her. Miles and miles of empty space in between us. A telephone can't take the place of your smile. But you know I won't be traveling forever. It's cold out, but hold out and do like I do when I need you. And the result was incredible. She forgave me all my girlfriends. I was able to come back home. No. So it's the ultimate paean, as it were. You know that word, P-E-A-E-N, which is a kind of like a hymn to long-lost love. And that was the secret. And I just said, we got to record this song. Richard Perry didn't want to do it. He said, no, it's slushy. It's stupid. So we cut it three times. Once with Booker T and the MGs, we cut a really funky version of it, you know? I mean, just with, when I need, you know, with organ and everything like that. Nice. And then we cut another version. Eventually, we went back to Albert's ballad, which I agree with you. He doesn't put much emotion in because he never thought the song was for him.
Mm.
And so this song, which was dormant and dead, because he said, you know, it's like nobody was interested.
Wow.
It was just too romantic. Maybe it was too, you know, it's too obvious. Rather like Stevie Wonder saying, you know, what's the Stevie Wonder song? So, I just called. And everybody says, Stevie, that's your worst song. But really, it's a beautiful song. It's imperfect in some ways. It's almost too perfect, you know. So this was one of those. You had to kind of bring an angle into it to sing it really well. And I just had this emotion when I sang it because Janice was back at home and I was singing to her. So there you go. So that's how you floor a song. You have to feel it.
Yeah. Because When I Need You is covered by everyone.
Celine Dion, Rod Stewart. Celine Dion called me up and said, can I sing your song, Leo? And I said, it's not my song. Thank you, darling.
It's
I'm
Albert
very
Hammond.
Honored. Thank you very much for calling me. It's Albert Hammond. And she said, oh, okay. But she said, no, it's your song.
We identify.
She said, because you own the song. So she said, I can't even start to sing it without asking you. I said, Celine, baby, go for it.
When I need
you. Cry your heart out.
Well, random fact. Random fact.
Yeah, random fact. Go. Yes, get in.
I watched Albert Hammond last year.
Didn't he?
It was last year. Yeah, and my dad was a promoter. He brought Albert Hammond down.
Really?
And that's where I heard all these hits that he wrote.
Amazing,
I was
the
like,
air
what?
The air that I breathe.
Yeah.
Never rains in California.
Yeah. And One Moment
Down by
in
the
time.
River, One Moment in Time. Yeah, I know. Classic.
It's completely
Yeah.
Same.
And we built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
So he wrote
But
it.
Leo, I want to say something.
He never comes in time. He leaves you with the bloody intro. These records are unpredictable.
Come, Leo.
Whoa, whoa, yeah, yeah.
I love you more than I can say.
In the other room, they look mystified because they're almost not listening. They can't believe the craziness that's going on.
I don't think they can hear that well, there.
No.
But we have.
But that's why we employ them.
That's what they must sit there like computers.
Like computers. Yeah, deaf people in radio are very useful, folks.
Leo, listen to this and tell me what this is. I laughed. I never knew about this. It was exactly 10 years ago this happened.
I'm leaving because they won't provide me underwear.
Oh, stop it.
fuck this.
That's Leo saying. Trying to get out of Big Brother.
Celebrity Big Brother. I broke the door.
I've had enough. This is insanity. It's unclean.
Insanitary. It is insanity. They didn't.
Insanity and.
No, that's Shilpa Shetty, the Bollywood actress.
Hey, don't leave. Fuck this. I'm out of here. This is bullshit.
No, wait.
Fuck off.
Show it together.
Fuck off. Get out of my way. Fuck off.
Yeah, they all
got
it.
You've got nothing to do with me. Fuck off.
I was arm wrestled by security guys.
Fuck off.
Calm down. Security. Gallery, we've got him here. Calm down, sir.
We've got him here.
My English career went downhill for a few minutes.
Really?
Then,
turn off the camera. This is fucked.
This place is insanitary, it's unclean, it's unhygienic, it doesn't pass any standards of living. I will not stand for this bullshit.
Well done.
It's fucked. You're just playing a stupid fucking game. I'm out of here. I'm out. I want to go. I don't think you can have the money. I don't care. Have the fucking money. It's over. Fuck off. Fuck off. Don't touch me, you bastard.
Fine. Come with me. We're going to take you out. It's okay.
I want to go. We want now, I want my bag and my mobile phone. I want my computer. I want everything. I want a hotel. I'm getting out of here. Fuck you. I'm out of here.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And I said just after that, I said, I'm getting out of this bloody shithole and I'm going back to my country, Australia, where at least they treat people with respect.
Oh, and then they turned on you.
That was a tough one in England after that. But you know, it was a dreadful setup. I mean, they did some awful things while I was in there. They had a guy in a punk band who me and... I was living in England at the time. And they had a guy I was living in England at the time. This incident went on anyway. And later, I come from Australia to do this show, you see.
Yeah.
But, and I only did it because there's a lovely guy you must have heard of called Archbishop Desmond Tutu.
Oh, we've heard of him.
Yes. He is the patron of a thing called Anti-Slavery International. And I had a chance, and we made £90,000, English pounds, for Anti-Slavery International for by me appearing on there. And I'm a patron of the charity. Not much active anymore because I've lost touch with it. But Desmond's thing. And I got to spend time with Dr. Tutu, and fantastic. Oh my God, that is gold. This lovely voice, Leo, do you think? And we would spend lovely time together.
Spot
so,
on.
So, and I love being part of that, but also we were doing really good thing with bonded labor and, you know, and changing things. And when I, just before I went in there, I have to tell you, I asked them, I said, who is the worst slaver, you know, as it were, people forcing people to work? In bonded labor kind of situations, you know, like they tie these 13-year-old and 8-year-old kids to the bench and make them make Nikes, you know, and this all happens in India. And they said, well, there's a guy actually called Rav Shetty, and they said, we're targeting him, we can't get anywhere, but your money will help us get some legal stuff in India that we can chase him. Ah, I went, oh, interesting. And then I went into the Big Brother wondering why the hell I agreed to do it, because they just had set me up. And as I say, back in England, when I lived in England, there was a guy who was in a punk band, and Donatella, my partner, was trying to help him with some management, because they were a good little band. They were really radically wild, but really good. So, but this time he's signed to a record company. He runs into the place, completely drugged up to his eyeballs, and jumps on my bed. There are only 7 beds, and he was person number 8. So they had him sleeping with me.
Oh, no,
so
man.
I knew from that moment I was getting set up. But the other thing that weird that happened, a girl that came in to the show and said that, you know, a beautiful Bollywood actress said her name to me. She said, Shilpa Shetty. I said, is your father in business in the rag trade in Mumbai? She said, oh, yes, he's got lots of factories. He makes shoes.
Oopsie.
So, you know, you're kind of thinking, am I being set up here?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, it's okay, hang in there, we're making all this money. And I was, for the first 4 or 5 days, I was in the lead. They all loved me the best. You know, I was just being me and everything. Mm. And then the modus operandi changed. And Big Brother suddenly started, you know, they would actually get some of the younger people to kind of like, is Leo a pervert? Is he chasing the girls? You know, little things like this. They're okay. Really creepy stuff. Mm. And they'd sick Donnie onto me. Well, I helped Donnie climb over the wall, actually. You know, he was the first escape. And I had a thing where if I wore a certain pair of socks, they'd all agreed to me that we're all going to walk out with me. We were going to mess up the entire show. Big Brother got an idea of that. I mean, I used to do things like, I'd walk down, you know, they have the big screens. I found a little piece of metal, so I undid all the screens and revealing all the cameras one day.
Good.
You know, things like that. And I stopped talking to them. I started writing messages in my breath on glass and things like that. And I stopped talking. Big Brother would have you in a room, and they'd say to you, Leo, are you in trouble? I'd go...
Climbing away.
So they hated me. I went into war with Big Brother while I was in the show.
Wow.
Yeah.
And until they kind of pitched it too much, they wouldn't allow, you know, they'd taken a lot of my clothes off me on the way in.
That's why you were so upset.
Yeah, yeah, I had four pairs of underpants. So I was turning these things around thinking I'm smelling revolting. And that's what I mean about insanitary,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they gave me, then I said I need to wash them. So they gave me a mangle. And they chained it to the main room
to make it
so
funny,
that I could only kind of wash my underpants in public.
So that
I'm
they can
sorry,
see.
I wasn't going to do that, you know.
Yeah,
yeah, you had a in the bathrooms there were no cameras, so it's a pretty motherfucking evil show.
It
that's
is.
What I think.
Yeah,
and I kind of, I mean, okay, we made a lot of money for the charity. That was all it was, but yeah. But you know, I just got angry. And I must admit, you know, that little bit you played there, I'm not proud of. Because
it's funny
I'd lost
now.
My temper. Yeah, but I'd lost my temper, you know.
Yeah,
and
but
and I don't, you don't want to reveal that to people, or your worst. I mean, we all get our worst, don't we?
Mm. I love things
days.
Like this.
Yeah.
I was in my period.
You had your man period.
My man period,
but a
yes.
hardcore one.
Hardcore
but I understand,
man
though,
period. Yeah, big piece.
I understand why you lost it, though. I mean, sometimes that just...
Well, sometimes, you know, and also, I don't like being locked in small places. I'm very claustrophobic, so yeah. I think that that got to me as well. There were some nice people there though, you know. Jermaine Jackson was lovely. He was in
oh,
there.
Oh, was he in there? Okay.
Yeah. Sure. And later on, I saw Shilpa at the Singapore Grand Prix, and she's a lovely girl.
Okay.
And, you know, and she said, oh, my father's not doing that anymore.
Oh,
and
good.
I thought, well, yeah, we did do it. And
we
she,
did good.
She never knew the connection, I think, you know. But she kind of winked at me, and I think she knew a little bit. But she's a lovely girl. Good luck to her. And she got through that all. And she had her cross to bear because she had Ryan O'Neill, didn't she, kissing her. Do you remember that? In Was it Ryan O'Neill or was it maybe not Ryan O'Neill? It was one of those guys, anyway, American actor.
Inside the house?
Yeah. No, snogged her in public in India, which you can never do. You know,
oh,
full-on kiss, because he fell for her.
Oh,
and
wow.
In public, and oh, my God.
Celebrity.
Celebrity.
The celebrity. World of celebrity.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I thought, oh, my God. You know, I still get mixed up with Richard Simmons sometimes.
Yeah.
People think that I look like Richard Simmons.
You do a bit, yes.
That's
it's that guy
confusing.
With...
You know, and he just loves everybody. Loves himself, loves everybody.
It's that guy in America, you know, with a physical...
He always breaks into tears halfway through because his husband's so emotional.
What? It does.
What's his name? Yes.
Richard Simmons.
Richard Simmons, have a look. Yeah. Now, there's a young Leo Sayer. He's walking across the street. Yes. Someone drives over him and he writes a song.
Taxicab, yes. One man band.
Yes. That's
a
key.
Wait, true story.
You're too early.
No, I got hit.
Say one man band again.
One man band. No, I was walking before I was famous and everything. Before I was writing songs. And I was busking on the street. I played harmonica on the street with all these folk musicians. You might have heard of Donovan and all those kind of people. So
yes.
Yeah, yeah. So I was kind of playing with them in Ladbroke Grove. So, yeah, that's where it is. And I was walking across Ladbroke Grove in Kensington in London.
Yeah.
And as I was walking across, I wasn't looking. A cab hit me, and I went right up into the air and landed in a heap. On the pavement, and I just thought at that moment my life was pretty crap, and I thought, this is my life, and I wrote it down, and I wrote down, I'm a one man band, nobody knows nor understands, is anybody there want to lend a hand to my one man band, and you know, and I wrote, and the taxi cab just drove on. He said, you alright? And I said, no. Okay. Just, you know, as they do. Bye now.
At least you got a good song out of it.
Years later, I sit down with David Courtney, my co-writer, and I'm pulling out these book of words, and I go, and he's playing a dum 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 ba dum dum. I said, I've got a song, and that's how it came together. You know,
fantastic.
They all came out of situations like that.
This is a melancholy kind of song. I like it.
Yeah, and going back to the Roger Daughtry thing, because someone was asking there, Roger recorded this. And of The Who, he recorded this and Giving It All Away. We get some music in there. And he recorded these two songs on his solo album. And the solo album of his came out because we got a chance to use his studio. He had our home studio, beautiful studio. And we finished half of my first album there. And he loved the song. So he used to sit there and he would engineer for us in the studio. I mean, he's really down to earth, great guy. One of the greatest singers in the world.
Yeah.
And he's kind of, you know, come on, Leo, I'm going to mix this for you.
So he loved your songs and he started recording. recording them.
Yeah, he turned around to us one day and he said, "Look, I'm livid with Pete Townsend. He's done a solo album. He's breaking up the Who. I'm going to do a solo album myself, but I want your songs to be the songs. Can I sing them?" And I said, "Wow." Yeah. Well, Dave said, "Yeah." You know, we just said, "Yeah, take it away," and we gave him almost my second album, which was this album. So we gave him these. We'd written the second album. We were ready to do that next. We gave him two songs from the next album.
Okay.
That was Giving It All Away, which is Where the Line Just a Boy, the title of the second album comes from.
Okay.
And One Man Band, and he did a beautiful job. And for about a year before I was famous, we'd go around the world with the Who, just telling him, "Now listen, let me tell you about Leo Sayer, who's written my new album. This guy's going to be the biggest star." So I had a publicist who was in the Who.
In Roger Daltrey.
Yeah, bless his heart. So I love him to death, and he's a smashing guy. He hates The Voice as well.
You don't like it. You don't like X Factor and that kind.
No, it's crap.
Vanessa.
Yeah.
No, you can go.
No, it's a
Vanessa, we got a message for Leo, and it's audio. I don't know how to fucking play it. What's
that?
How do I play this? Do you know?
You can patch it. Hello, Vanessa. How are you doing?
Palesa, hey?
Palesa. I said Vanessa. I'm so sorry.
Valesco.
Vanessa.
Valesco.
Vanessa.
No.
Pa.
She's not a Vanessa.
I didn't say Belesco.
Frambello.
Belesco. Does yo? That's terrible. That's not what I said.
Oh, what a way to spend a morning of my gig.
Oh, man, I'm so glad that you came on the night, but that you're actually going to perform, and I'm going to see you tonight, and I thank you for doing
that. Doing my voice in on this show that I won't be able to sing tonight. No, I'm joking.
Yeah. You're going to be...
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
No, it's all right. It's all Casper's fault. But I'll be there.
Ladies and gentlemen.
But I mean, you represent my memories of my youth.
Oh, my God. Am I that responsible?
Yeah. Oh, what's happening here?
And when Casper said you're coming on, it took me to a time in Cape Town I was 19 years old and still doing this. Yeah, I won't say it on the radio, but I'll show you.
Yeah.
And it was just like a weird time of my life.
What the hell?
Yeah. He was using both hands.
It was just like, when I need you. And to listen to you and how it all started, I'm like, those are my memories, like Casper just said now.
It was a great time for me as well, strangely enough. I mean, it was, you know, suddenly it's I know it's strange to say that, but everything went by in a blur. It happened very fast. I mean, the other part of the story is a guy called Adam Faith. He was an amazing pop singer in the 60s. He did a song called, "What do you want if you don't want money? What do you want if you don't want love? Say what you want and I'll give it to you, honey. What you want to my love, baby?" And the way he sang Baby became very famous. But he was a very young guy when he made records in the late 50s. And probably the first millionaire under 21 in Britain. So he then became an actor after he'd sort of slowed down on singing. And David Courtney, who wrote songs for me, was originally David Cohen. And his dad used to sell cars to Adam. So David actually was a drummer who joined Adam's band. That's where that link came in. And then when David became David Cohen, well, David Courtney, and held an audition that me and my band went to and started looking after me and managing me, and then said, "I really want to write songs." And I said, "Well, that's what I do." So we started writing songs together. He called Adam, his old friend Adam Faith, to say, "Can we play you some songs? What do you think?" Because he knew Adam might become the manager and also, you know, might be interested in this. He knew Adam was looking for something. We went down to Adam's house. We played him some rough old songs we'd done on the tape. He said, "Right, you're in the studio on Thursday."
Well,
I'm producing with Dave. And he said, basically, you know, "Your career started. Now, what are we going to call you?" And his wife turned around and he said, "He looks like a little lion." And there was a guy on the TV. This all happened in a matter of moments, you know. And there's a guy on the TV. I'm just standing there going, "What the hell are they on about?" And there's a guy on the TV with a cartoon character called Leo the Lion. So they said, "He looks like a little lion. Let's call him Leo." Because my real name was Gerard.
Mm.
And so So I became Leo at that moment. So I left his house in Dave's car with a career and
wow.
a name.
Wow.
Isn't that pretty cool?
But you were shy because you were like this clown.
I was very shy. So
you performed as a clown.
Well, the white-faced Pierrot came from a movie that I loved when I was at art school called Les Enfants du Paradis from Marcel Kahn. Yeah, you know it. Yeah.
No, it's just, it rings a bell. That's why I was like,
And it was shot in France at the end of the Nazi occupation, and it was all about kind of the Nazi occupation, but in a very veiled way. I love this kind of double stories thing. And there was a wonderful actor in it called Jean-Louis Barrault. And Jean-Louis played a white-faced Pierrot, you know, and he played the Pierrot. The characters of Pierrot versus Harlequin is a classic theatrical French story. And Puccinello, of course, you know, in Italy is an echo of Pierrot. He's part of the same character. So Pierrot is a moralizer. In old terms, it would be the guy who tells you the truth about the story. And he would tell you the moral of the story. So basically, he would be the MC of the tale. You know, and traditionally, you know, Harlequin was more like the Donald Trump of the story. You know, he would tell you any bunch of lies just to get his way. So I love this character. He is good against evil. And I always saw this as a character that I felt deep in my heart. I went to do an album cover with Roger Daltrey's cousin, being the photographer. And Roger kind of set me up with this guy, Graham Hughes. Go and see him. Graham was doing a photo shoot for Vogue. And in the background on the wall were all these new prints that he'd just done of this shoot. And in there was a Pierrot. And he said, "How do you see yourself?" And I said, "Like that." I pointed to the wall. And he said, "Well, Julien, this Belgian clown, is still in here for a couple of days. Street clown, street performer." He said, "I found him and I thought he looked good in the fashion shoot. But he's here. He really believes in the whole Pierrot thing." I said, "So do I." And he said, "Why don't we get him in? You try on his costume and I'll take some photos." And I looked in the mirror when we did the dress up. We had an amazing makeup girl who did all the face, you know, with the teardrops and the red cheeks, and she found a black bathing cap that she put as the skull cap. My hair was completely hidden, as long as it is now, and it was somehow pinned back. And I looked in the mirror and I thought, yes, I can get away with anything. It was the ticket to it, you know. And I thought, I can hide my lack of confidence behind this face. And off we went. And we did it for 1 year. We dropped it afterwards because I didn't want to keep doing it, because I'd end up like, say, that guy Gilbert O'Sullivan, who was in, you know, short pants and a cap, rather like Angus Young of AC/DC, you know, has not been able to drop that image. Yeah. But I wanted to drop that image, you know. I didn't want to do it forever. Like Kiss, you feel trapped in those costumes. God. And I wanted the real me to wake up. So after a year, and it was very tough when we dropped it because everybody said, "That's a disappointment," and you had to start again, you know. But that's what we did, and it was just amazing. It was a series of wonderful kind of happenstance events, you know. It's just one thing leaps to another. You go, "Oh yeah, okay, yeah." And I think if you have an open mind, which I've always got, things happen to you, crazy things, you know. Captured by Indians. Thrown off the back of a truck. No, it could anything can happen, you know.
Crazy.
And you just, that's what you got to do. You open yourself, you know. And when you go into show business, you've got to be like that kid in the trunk, ready to be thrown anywhere.
Absolutely. That's why you say you just think.
And hey, all this happened when I was about 25, 26, because I'd already had a career as a commercial artist. But I was a slow developer, so I felt like I was in my teens when I started.
But that's America, when you thrust into that.
Yeah.
Then you go, hey.
Well, with a very entrepreneurial guy, going back to Adam Faith, you know, who takes you under his wing and says, "I'll show you how to do it, son." And he made me do 1,000 shows before he'd let me make a record.
Wow.
And every single one he stood, "You got that wrong. You dropped the jacket in the third number. I told you in the second number. Don't turn your back to the audience. You know, did that again. Let's go through the notes again."
Wow.
You know, so I had that. I was trained, you know, and as much as training could do to a wild man like me. Yeah. But I learnt my stagecraft, and, you know, that's what stood me in good stead, and that's why I'm playing tonight in Teatro.
Tonight in Teatro, and tomorrow, and Sunday, and the time is over. I can't believe it.
I've got to go.
All these questions.
I've got to go to my special place.
Well, can I just aptly end from your new...
And I want a recording of this, because my lawyers are going to love love it. No.
I'll send you a recording. I'm going to see you tonight at the
really
show.
That's really fabulous. Thank you, all of you. Casper, you're all gorgeous. And this beautiful young lady here.
Yeah. Don't you have a CD for him?
Biggest career.
Give him a CD.
I do
have
give
me a CD.
Okay, are we going to end up with How Did We Get So Old?
Yeah.
Oh,
well, that's
man.
Kind of looking back, you know. Yeah.
It's from your new album, Restless Years. Leo Sayer, it's been a privilege.
This is finally acting my age.
You're a legend.
Oh, a legend.
A legend.
Can I be a legend?
Yeah, it's been fantastic talking to you. Thank
you. It's been lovely being with you all.
See you tonight. She is my Mona Lisa. CliffCentral.com